Let's take our Bible this evening and turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 to 16 is the text for the message this evening. This, obviously, as you can tell by where it's where you are in your Gospel of Matthew, you can tell that we're getting towards the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. And, of course, chapter 27 is when Jesus' trial and so on. So it's a very towards the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, in the last week or so of his earthly life. It's a very familiar story. In fact, Jesus says, and we'll read it, that wherever the gospel is preached, this story is to be told. That's an important story, if that's what Jesus said specifically, that this was a story that was to be told everywhere the gospel is shared. And so, further to this morning's message, in a little bit they tie together in some ways, not only because of their proximity as far as where they were in Jesus' life, but also because of opportunities. I talked this morning about missing out on opportunities and how that opportunities come our way to serve God, opportunities come our way to praise God. And so this is one of those places where an opportunity, it was taken and used. And so I just entitled the message tonight, Lessons from an Important Story. And that's a pretty simple title, but there's some important things for us to learn from our text here in Matthew 26, verse 6. It says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured out this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for memorial of her.' And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him." Lessons from an important story. We see here in this story some of these lessons that I believe that the Lord would have us to see. Why was it such an important story? There's some things that we can learn from it and apply in our lives. We won't be long tonight. We've got the fellowship. We've got had some testimonies and been blessed by the special singing of different hymns and so on. But I do want to take some time in the scripture tonight. And I want us to see, first of all, a lesson that we can learn from this is don't be ashamed to serve Christ. Don't be ashamed to serve Christ. Sometimes fear and what others think or may think keeps us from serving the Lord and keeps us from doing what we really should do for Christ. Though there's a time and a place for everything, you should never be ashamed of what you do for the Lord Jesus Christ. It may seem strange to us as we look at the setting of this story and see that this woman enters this house, seemingly not necessarily a guest from what we would see here, and just starts anointing Jesus' feet with this ointment. And yet, according to comparative passages, as we would, if we'd have time to look at John chapter 12 and look at the story as it's recorded there, we would find that this story takes place, and Martha, who was had a sister named Mary, Martha was serving Jesus at this meal that was taking place at Simon the leper's house. Mary is the woman who was sat at Jesus' feet listening when Martha, who was serving, was upset about Jesus sitting, or about Mary sitting at Jesus' feet and listening as she was cumbered about much serving. But here is Mary, who is the one who is the unnamed woman here in Matthew chapter 26, and she comes to perform this act of worship upon the Lord. So this was not just a random act done in somebody else's house. Evidently, at least her sister was at least invited to be partaking in the serving aspect. Perhaps Mary had been as well. Maybe she'd been there doing some of the serving as well. We're not told that, but certainly she was there. The fact that Martha was asked to serve or was serving in this home would indicate that they knew Simon the leper quite well. Obviously, Simon was no longer a leper. He must have been healed, and probably, or quite possibly, he was invited to this supper. Jesus was invited to the supper at Simon's house because Simon probably had such great appreciation for what Jesus had done for him in curing him of his leprosy that he wanted to do something nice for the Lord and return that favor, as it were, and have him have the Lord over. The fact that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the grave, who was the brother of Mary and Martha, again would indicate that in this town of Bethany, Mary and Martha and Lazarus would have been very well-known people, and probably Simon knew them very well. And so amidst her peers and perhaps some strangers, Mary chose to worship the Lord in this manner. She was not ashamed to do so. The Bible says that she took the alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. That was a form of worship. It was anointing the head of the Lord. It was a custom of the day to anoint those who came into the home. And so this was very fitting. It was appropriate that this took place and it was done. But here she was not ashamed, and she was not embarrassed, we might say, to worship the Lord in this way. She felt that this was something that she could, some way that she could serve the Lord, and she was not embarrassed to do so. I wonder what the people thought. Well, we know what some of them thought. It didn't stop her, though. She wasn't ashamed. She didn't say, oh dear, they're making a big deal of this. I think I should just pick up the broken pieces of this box and just sneak out. There's no indication that that took place. She wasn't ashamed of what she had done for Christ. Matter of fact, I believe that if you'd asked her at the very end, would you do that again? She would say, most certainly I would. She wasn't ashamed to serve the Lord. Now, it was in the presence, again, of some of her peers, some of her friends, some probably strangers, and yet she was willing to do that. And I had to think as I looked at this story and just read it just recently and thought about it as I prepared the message, I wonder how often we let the perceived thoughts of people around us keep us from serving God. We say, well, I would do that, but then I wonder what so-and-so would think. What are they going to say if I do this for the Lord? What will they think if I start out to do that and then I make a mistake while I'm doing it? What are they going to say? Or if I, I don't know what they'll think, and so maybe I just won't do that. But I believe we see that one of the lessons we can see here is don't be ashamed to serve Christ. Don't let what others may or may not think stop you from doing what you need to do for the Lord. We certainly often are guilty of that in our witness, aren't we? We think, well, boy, I really should give that person a tract. I should tell them about the Lord, but I wonder what they'll think of me then. And it holds us back from many areas. I wonder how many people would perhaps sing a special, or maybe they would give a testimony, or maybe they would teach a Sunday school class, or maybe they would be willing to pray, or maybe the usher or so on, and they think, but boy, I don't know. I don't know that I can do that because I wonder what other people will think. Learn from Mary. Don't let those things stop you from doing what God has for you to do. I think a second lesson that we learn from this story tonight is that we need to use what we have. The Bible says in verse 7, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment. She had it. She brought it because she had it. That's something that she had. It was a very valuable thing. It was an alabaster box. Alabaster is of the same material, as they say, as marble, but it was formed in a different way. I'm sure it was a very beautiful encasement for that ointment that was inside, and the ointment itself was very precious, a very valuable ointment. Mark chapter 14 tells us that this ointment was worth 300 pence. Now they say that the average wage during that time was about a penny a day, so you multiply that out, 300 pence is a greater part of a year's salary. Now, I don't suppose that maybe equates to the average salary. I heard on the radio this week, and good thing I was sat down because I was driving, but they say the average salary or the average income in Ontario is $72,000 a year or something. I'm like, whoa, that would be nice, wouldn't it? I don't think maybe it equates to that much, but it was a very valuable ointment. It was something that was of worth. It was something of value. We aren't told how she got it. Was it a gift? Did she buy it? Doesn't matter. We don't know, but all we do know is that she had it, and she said, "This is something I can give to Jesus. This is something I can use to worship God." And I wondered as I looked at this, I wondered how many times we say things like, you know, if I had a lot of money, boy, I would really give to the Lord. If I had this ability, I would use it for the Lord. If I could, then I would for God. It's really idle talk, isn't it? Because if we don't have those things, then what does it say? That means we say, well, then if I don't have that, then, you know, what is it? They're great desires. It's nice, and I'm not against it. It's a dream, perhaps, to say, boy, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if we had more money that we could give to the Lord's work? Wouldn't it be nice if I had greater talents to use for the Lord's work? Wouldn't it be nice if I had something more that I could do, more that I could give? And it's all nice, and it sounds good, and it's great. But perhaps more to the point is, what am I doing with what I do have? What am I doing with the amount of income that I do have? Or what am I doing with the amount of talent that I do have? What am I doing with the amount of time that I do have? See, it's all nice to say if I had more time, I would give more time to God. If I had more money, I'd give more money to God. If I had more ability, I'd use it more for God. But really, we may never get more of those things, but we know what we do have. And God's not saying, what would you do if you had more? God's saying, what will you do with what you do have? Mary says, I have this ointment, and I have it that I can use it for the Lord, and so therefore, I will use it for Him. Jesus specifically said in Mark chapter 14, in Mark's account of this story, He said, let her alone, she hath done what she could. You could put that emphasis anywhere, couldn't you? You could say, she hath done what she could. Or you could say, she hath done what she could. It may not be what you could, but it's what she could. She did what she could. She used what she had. I wonder if the same could be said of us. I wonder if we do what we can. When God came to Moses, and Moses had all kinds of excuses, God said to Moses, Moses, what is in thine hand? Moses said, a rod. God didn't say, what would you like to have in your hand, Moses? He said, what is in your hand? And God said, I can use that rod, throw it down on the ground. It turned to a snake, pick it up again, it became a rod again. You know the story. But what do you have, Moses? Mary, what do you have? I have some ointment in a nice container. That's what I'm going to use because it's what I have. You know, I'm persuaded that when we use what we have, God will bless what we have and may even multiply it or replace it with something better. But sometimes we sit idly by thinking, boy, if I had better, I would use better, but I don't have what's good enough. I've used the illustration before and just was telling somebody about it just recently, but when we got married, we lived in a small apartment. We bought it. It was a condominium apartment, and property prices fell through the basement floor after we bought it. And it was a basement apartment to begin with. So we were stuck there for a long time, and we got frustrated. We were like, man, this is just really frustrating. We're stuck here. I wish we had a bigger place. We could have people over. We could do this. We could do that. We could do this. And, you know, we decided that, you know, well, why don't we just use what we have? And we used what we had. And God blessed what we had, and God has since enlarged our borders, as it were, and so now we have more room, we have more space to use for God's glory. Then there are times that we perhaps say, you know, I would use that for the Lord, but, you know, it's kind of valuable. I don't know whether I want it to get wrecked. That car's new. If I go to pick people up, their feet are going to be dirty, and they're going to get my new carpet dirty, and I don't know whether I want to use my new car for picking people up. It's a new car. I had an old one. I would gladly, but it's a new one. Or, you know, if I have this, but I don't know whether I want to use that, it's kind of valuable. What are we saying? Is something too good for God? You know, Mary used what she had. Whether you say it's all she had, we don't know what she had. But we do know she had this, and she said, this I can use, and I want to use it to honor God. And so I would say to you tonight, we learn from the story, use what you have for the Lord. Be that something precious and valuable, or be that something that seems like the widow's two mites. but use it for God. I think we learn from this story another thing, and that is some will misunderstand. Some people will misunderstand. People will misunderstand the things that we do for God. The Bible says here in verse number 8, when his disciples saw, that's the people who believed Jesus. Now, we don't know whether that was necessarily the 12 or whether it was the broader group of disciples, like we said this morning in the message, but those people that were there who claimed to be followers of Jesus, they saw what took place and they weren't like, praise God, what a blessing, she's serving the Lord. They said, what? What a waste. They had indignation. They were indignant. It means to be really much displeased. They were really upset. Some people thought, you know, there was a better use for that. Why did she waste it on Jesus? Well, what a statement for his disciples to make. But that's what they said. Why was this waste of the ointment made? It might have been sold for money and given to the poor. It may have been people, as we look at this, disciples who should have known better. And you know, when we serve God, sometimes people will misunderstand. Sometimes people say, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life? Don't you know you could be doing this with your time? What are you reading your Bible for? What are you going to church for? What are you serving God for? Are you bored or something? Don't you know there's other things you could do with your time? And sometimes it may even be Christians who should know better. These disciples were people that should have known better. They should have been happy for what was being done. Some will even take the good that we've done and try to use it against us. And that's what took place here. I mean, why does she do this? What a waste. I've heard people say, I would do this, but people would think. You know, don't worry. Don't let that misunderstanding again. Take the opportunity that you have. It's good to get counsel from godly friends. I'm not saying just, you know, go do your own thing and just don't think about what other people may think is a wise thing. The Bible says there's safety in a multitude of counselors. We use wisdom, but you know, when it comes to serving God and many times in the simple things in life, we maybe what hinders us is the fact that people may take this the wrong way. Well, no, if you're serving the Lord, people will take it the wrong way, but that just comes with the territory. Just do it for the Lord anyway. Don't let it keep you from serving God. But notice as well, we can learn from this that God does notice the things that are done for him, because it says in verse number 10, when Jesus saw it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. Hey, Jesus noticed it and he didn't give her a hard time. He said what she done was right. What she done was good. And let's face it, when it comes right down to it, why did Mary do it in the first place? Was it because she wanted other people to pat her on the back? No. It was because she wanted to honor the Lord. And the Lord who she wanted to honor is the one who said, she's done a good work on me. He noticed. He took it the right way. So really, you could say, mission accomplished, Mary. That's exactly what you wanted to do. You wanted to honor Jesus, and Jesus noticed it. Just because the other people thought it was a waste, just because the other people didn't think you should have done it, don't worry about it. The Lord noticed. He sees the things that we do for him for what they are. You know, he recognized Mary's sincerity. See, she wasn't doing it to show off. She was doing it because she loved the Lord. And the Lord recognized that's why she did it. Because she loved him. You won't impress God by trying to impress others. That's what Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 6. And I won't take the time to look there. I encourage you to look there. If you can't remember, Jesus says, when you go and do your alms, don't be like the hypocrites who sound a trumpet before them and da-da-da-da! Pharisee Joseph will now give his millions. Hey everyone, that's me. Yeah. Oh man, that hurt. Can't somebody else pat me on the back? And then blow the trumpet again. Hey, he's going to pray on the street corner, everybody. Big public place. Why? Not because he was unashamed of Christ or unashamed of the Lord, but because, hey, this is public. Look how spiritual I am, people. I'm going to pray right here on the street corner where everyone's going to hear. And then the fasting, Jesus said, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites who disfigure their faces. Oh, I'm so hungry. Oh, really? Why are you hungry? I've been fasting for 3 days. Oh, I just really need to get a hold of God. And I'm just so serious about God. I've been fasting. Wow. What a spiritual man. That doesn't impress God. God says, when you fast, don't go broadcasting it. Just act like everything's great. You know, if your stomach grumbles, you ignore it and just put a smile on your face. Everything's good, guys. Everything's good. Because you're fasting for the Lord, not for the people around. God's looking at our heart. It's best to leave the defense of it to Him. And you look at this story here, and Mary didn't even stand up and say, hey, listen, now, don't you guys give me a hard time with this. Don't you realize I did this because I love the Lord? She just let Jesus handle it. She said, I just did this for the Lord in her own heart and mind. She knew of conscience that she did this for Christ, and the Lord recognized it. That's all she needed. What other people said, it didn't matter. And the Lord came to her defense. Think about Joseph, the story of Joseph. You don't see Joseph saying, now wait a minute, this isn't fair, this isn't right. He just carried on serving God and let God look after it. Because that's who he was pleasing in the first place. When Potiphar's wife came to him, what was his response? I can't sin against my God. That's who I'm pleasing here, is my Lord. Jesus didn't consider this a waste whatsoever. He said, she hath done a good work upon me. Good has the thought of proper and beautiful and virtuous, valuable and worthy. And then he says, ye have the poor with you always, he wasn't saying that we shouldn't give to the poor. He wasn't saying we shouldn't help the poor. He's just saying this woman did nothing wrong. She came to do this to honor me. You can give to the poor to honor me too, the Lord said in other places. But in this case, she did this to honor me. Don't give her a hard time. There will be other opportunities for giving to the poor. That's fine. And then one of the other parallel passages of this says that Judas said that not because he cared for the poor, but because he had the bag and he was a thief from the beginning. It wasn't a matter of the poor. But we look at this and we say, Jesus saw what was done. Jesus saw what Mary did. And Jesus was pleased with what Mary did. And when we do things for the Lord, we realize that He sees it. And if He's the one we're doing it for anyway, just leave the reward with Him. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which He has showed toward His name in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Others may go, man, you're crazy. You're wasting your time. What are you doing? But the Lord who we're doing it for says, well done, servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. What a blessing. Thank you for loving me enough and showing your love towards me. He sees it. We sometimes joke about it, but the reality is the pay for serving God really is out of this world. It's an eternal riches. God is no man's debtor. She'd taken this opportunity. And this opportunity was there, and she used it. Isn't it an interesting thing? In verse 12, Jesus says, for in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Remember what the ladies were going to do on early Sunday morning? They were going to take the ointment, right? They were going to take an ointment. They'd mix spices together, and they were going to anoint Jesus' body. Did they get to do it? No, because he was already risen. Jesus said, Mary did this against my burial. She did it for my burial. I don't know if she knew. She knew, of course, she knew that Jesus had spoken about his impending death. She knew that the people were out to get Jesus. That's clearly recorded in chapter 11, the chief priests of John, that is, before the story is recorded in chapter 12 of John, the chief priests, they were out for Jesus. Lazarus had been raised from the dead. They didn't like the popularity that had caused to Jesus. And they were saying, how can we get rid of this guy? Mary knew that was happening. We don't know if she fully understood the ramifications of Jesus' death. We know the disciples certainly didn't. But Jesus said here that she had taken an opportunity to anoint his body for the burial, an opportunity that wouldn't be there later. and he rewarded her for doing that. If Mary hadn't taken this opportunity when she did, she wouldn't have had another one to do the same thing. And so we're reminded of the statement that is so well known that Jim Elliot, the missionary martyr for Christ, said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Mary said, "I'm doing this for the Lord." And Jesus said, "She's wrought a good work on me. Don't trouble her." God notices all the things done for him and will reward us accordingly. A lesson from Mary we can learn here tonight. Take the opportunity to do what you can for the Lord. Don't be ashamed. Don't wait till you have more. Use what you have. Don't worry about those who misunderstand. But remember, he notices and rewards all things done for him. The question is, really, are we doing what we can, like Mary did what she could?